Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Tega Industries Limited Q3 and 9M FY23 earnings conference call hosted by PhillipCapital Private Client Group. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dhiral Shah of PhillipCapital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Zico. Good afternoon, all. Thank you for joining us on the Q3 and 9-month FY23 post-earnings conference call of Tega Industries Limited. We sincerely thank the management to allow us to host the call. In the panel today, we have Mr. Mehul Mohanka, Managing Director and Group Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Seyed Yavuz Imam, Director, Global Product Management, and Mr. Manoj Kumar Agarwal, Director, Global Finance and CFO of the company. Before we begin this call, I would like to state that some of the statements are made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainty. I now invite Mr. Mehul Mohanka to begin the proceeding of the call. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome you to the Q3 earnings call. I'm joined by Mr. Imam, Director, Global Product Management Group, and Mr. Agarwal, who's our CFO. As you can understand, I have a sore throat because of onset of a viral prevalent in this part of the country as of today. I'd like to excuse myself and hand over to Mr. Agarwal, who's our CFO, to take this forward.
Thank you, Mr. Mohanka. On behalf of Mr. Mohanka, I just want to thank you all the investor to putting us continued faith on the company. We're also pleased to announce that our business has been double-digit growth in key metrics in Q3, building on the strong momentum from H1. Sales have grown strongly across all regions. Our growing scale has also led to improved operating leverage and significant margin improvement, both yearly and quarter-over-quarter. Significant improvement in global supply chain, normalization of logistics and transport cost also contributed to improved margins, which is visible in the Q3 numbers as well. Despite the easing pressure, the costs are still higher on a pre-COVID base, and we are vigilant to managing our supply chain accordingly. Our expansion project in Chile, requisite land acquisition has been completed. We are awaiting further approvals. Shall keep you updated on the progress of the same. We recently completed 1 year of our listing following our IPO in December 2021. We have had a long journey of over three decades as India's leading business in global niche. I look forward to future with increasing optimism. We have many strategic initiatives in motion to elevate Tega Industries to the forefront of the industry globally, and we aim to generate value over the long term for all stakeholders. Now I'm taking the Q3 numbers for the listeners. For YOY Q3, the revenue has grown from 205.78 million to 209.69 million, a growth of 15% YOY. Material margin is around 55%, little subdued, mainly because of the geographical mix, not otherwise. We have been able to claw back the margin on account of logistics in this quarter, which we have not able to make up until quarter two, which has helped us to boost our EBITDA for the quarter three as well. Other expenses also gone down with the fact that the logistics cost has come down from quarter one, quarter two, and previous quarter as well. Operating EBITDA stand at 22.66% against 19.78% same period last year. We have been able to manage our finance cost even in the increasing environment. with a better capital working capital management. If I go to the YTD YOY, the revenue growth has happened to the tune of 24%. We are at 8176 million versus 6617 million INR on YOY. Material margin on a yearly basis is stood at 57% against 58% last year same period. We anticipate that this margin will improve in quarter four with a better geographical mix. The reason being lumpiness in the business. So quarter on quarter sometime may not give a clear picture. Hence we go into the yearly margin numbers. Other expenses also gone down with the fact that packing forwarding cost has gone down YOY. For 9 months YOY, operating EBITDA stood at 20.5% against 17.21% same period last year. On the debt side, we are at a net debt plus position of about 22 crores. Working capital days stood at 154 days against target of 130 days. We expect it got normalized in quarter four. That is all on the finance side number. I open the forum for the Q&A from the investors. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Sandeep Tulsiyan with JM Financial. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, very good afternoon, gentlemen. My first question is pertaining to your full year guidance that you had given for FY23 at 15-20% sales growth. Given that we have been able to recoup volumes in newer geographies as well as got some price increases, 9-month performance looks good. So would you want to revise this guidance or at least indicate that, you know, the company should comfortably be at the upper end of this guidance?
So we expect upper end of this guidance. So we intend to be within 15-20% for FY23 as of now.
Okay. Second question is on further more color on these gross margins which have declined in the quarter. You did highlight there is some geographical mix which changed, which led to this decline. If you could also elaborate on that, what was this specifically?
Yeah, so in quarter, what happened that our mix on South Africa entity and Chile entity has gone up than the India side. And overall basis, India margin is much better than these geographies. So because of that mix, there is some impact for this quarter in the margin. Further, the North America business for this quarter is down than expected, which is more or less kind of spillover to quarter four. So because of the margin geographical mix from North America, lower mix, which is a better margin geography for us, and from South Africa and Chile, which is a little higher cost centers for us as far as RMC cost is concerned, hence this margin is showing lower for quarter three. And we are sure that in quarter four, we'll be able to cover it up, both for the quarter four and year as a whole.
Got it. Understood. And a bit more color on other expenses. You did highlight logistics costs have come down and packaging forwarding costs have gone down, which led to this increase in margins. If you could quantify a bit, what was the logistics cost as a percentage of sales in first quarter and approximately how much has it fallen in third quarter? And also, is there a further downside based on the new freight rates that you would have contracted for a couple of more quarters going ahead? Is it we are at the bottom right now or is it further expected to decline?
Yeah, so let me give this some numbers to you. So basically, the logistic cost sits mostly on India side because other than India, like Chile and South Africa, we do all ex works. India side, the cost was around 8.21% of our sales in December 21 quarter, which has gone down to around 6.04% in September 22, and it has gone down further in December quarter to 4.62%. So if I take a group as a whole, where we were lagging about 1.5% in FY22, if you can recall, we have been able to recoup about 1.2% as of now. And we expect that this cost may further, it has not still reached to the level it was prior COVID, but we still expect that some cost reduction will happen and we were able to recoup another 25 basis in quarter four. Not beyond that.
Got it. And some bookkeeping questions, Mr. Agarwal, regarding the price and volume growth, as well also the segmental numbers regarding DynaPrime, non-DynaPrime and non-mill liners that you typically provide every quarter.
So we are at the same range we're talking about, right? DynaPrime, we are at a range of 25%, non-DynaPrime at about 9 to 10%. I'm talking about volume side. So that we are still clogging as of YTD December 22.
Okay. So if you could give like absolute rupees crore in third quarter and how much was that growth on a year-on-year basis in each of these segments?
So let me give you 9 months YOY. That will give you a picture because YOY December 22, we have done about 165 crores in DynaPrime against 135 crore last year. Mm-hmm. Meal, we have done 425 crores against 360 crores last year, 9 months. Mm-hmm. Non-meal, we have done about 192 crores against 143 crores last year. Rest is services.
Got it. And what was the price and volume and forex breakup that you shared?
So volume, overall volume is 17.6% as of for the 9 months, and price exchange together is about close to 6%.
Okay, this is for 9 months again, right?
9 months. Because lumpiness, na, so it's better to take a YTD numbers.
Okay, and is there any forex gain element over here?
Yeah, forex is about 1%, around 1.25%.
Okay. Okay. No, I meant in other income, normally what we report as forex gain, is there a jump in this quarter?
There was gain is there, I think about 8 crores forex gain is there for this quarter.
Okay.
Because the currency got, I think, appreciated in other geography than what it was in a quarter two.
Got it. And one last question from my side. We definitely have a very comfortable balance sheet position right now. Any plans on inorganic acquisitions in related areas, any adjacencies that you have found out, which would be a close watch out for you in terms of acquisition? Also, our promoter stake continues to remain at 79%. We have, of course, a good 2 years to bring it down to 75%. So will that be through a fundraise or will it be a stake sale? Any thoughts on these two aspects, if you can share, please?
So as our MD said in last quarter also, that we are always look for a better kind of, you know, deal which makes sense for the stakeholders, right, for value appreciation. So we just try to time the market in terms of if we get anything good to have in Tega's fold, which we give the value appreciation to the stakeholders, we may go for that also. And because we have to kind of dilute 4%, we have that advantage to kind of raise the fund in company, you know, also. So we're just waiting for the right time, how to marry the, you know, both the situations once come into the fold. So we are in the look of opportunities. Whenever it comes, makes sense for us, obviously we'll go for that.
Okay. Sorry, just one related question. So when you said you are seeing some good growth in all across all geographies, is it possible to give some color as to which geographies are seeing faster growth, other than, of course, you highlighted South Africa and Chile as subsidiaries, but within geographies, the major markets that you have, if you could give some more color in terms of where the growth was higher, what were the numbers, if the US was declined, how much was the decline?
So too many numbers may not be given, but I can tell you that other than North America, maybe all even North America also talk about it is on a slow pace again because of lumpiness. something got spillover, which we got covered in quarter four. Rest, all the geography is giving a trajectory of the on the higher trend as far as the revenue is concerned.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one or two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Thank you. A reminder, to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Our next question is from the line of Rakesh Pal with Peace Wealth Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I have one question, two questions actually. My first question is, we are hearing that copper mines are being closed in South America. So what will be the impact on our company? And second question is, if I can see your order trajectory, it was peak during quarter two of this financial year and then it reduced. So how does the revenue, does the order book lags the revenue by one or two quarters? These two are my questions, sir. Thank you.
As far as South America is concerned, there are some headwind in, especially in Codelco, but the number of projects which are coming on stream over here in copper over there, overall copper production is not going to fall by too much in as far as South America is concerned. Second issue is that most of the mines which we are working in are operating mines, and till, you know, even if the production goes down by a couple of percentage points, the mills are running, and we are being in the consumer business, our revenue does not get much affected by it.
And sir, my second question is about the order book. How does your order book vary over the quarter? Like, as I can see, in quarter two, your order book was highest, then it declined. So does it lag the revenue by one or two quarters? That is my second question.
See, again, as we have always said, you know, the revenue is lumpy because the order books are lumpy, you know. So this year we started with a good quarter one, and overall, I think the pace of the revenue is what it is being kept because of the order booking. So our order booking is continues to grow at that between the 15-20 range, and in effect, the result of that is that the revenues are growing.
And sir, this order book is for how many months? What is the execution period of this order book?
Approximately 3 months.
Okay, thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Jasdeep Walia with Clockwine Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, out of top three copper and gold mining companies globally, how many are your clients where you're supplying commercial quantities and not quantities meant for testing?
Hello? See, both in copper and in gold, the top 20 miners, we are there in all the top miners. Okay? So, both in copper and in gold.
You are there in all the top 20 miners globally?
Yeah.
And you are supplying commercial scale quantities?
Yes, please.
Got it, sir. Thank you. That's all, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Sagar Shah with Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. My first question was related to our CapEx plan. Can you throw some light on the update on our CapEx?
a lot of background noise. We are unable to hear you.
Okay, sure. So, my question is related to our CapEx plan. Can you throw some light on our CapEx? Yeah, actually.
So, as we said last time, the CapEx plan for the group is close to about $30-32 million in next 3 years. And major CapEx will be in Chile, close to about $22 million, right? Followed by some addition in India and South Africa.
Correct. Okay, got your point, sir. Now, since on hedging policy, you just mentioned that we received
Can't hear you, boss. Can't hear you. Sorry, can't hear you.
Okay,
can't hear you. Voice is breaking.
It was related to our hedging policy, sir.
Yes.
Hello. Yes. So we have recorded around 8 crore of forex gain in this quarter. So can you throw some light at what exactly is our hedging policy? How do you, have you received or is it, can you throw some light or is it just a notional figure? Is it just a one-off?
No, so in hedging policy, we have hedging policy where we hedge net of import in India parlance. In South Africa, again, net of hedging position, we have export. So there we have a gain which is realized. So in that realized gain, overall group wise, about 6 crores of realized gain we have. And unrealized gain is about 1.25 crores as of December 2022.
Okay. Got it. My last question, sir, is related to our order book. As of December 22, and on absolute basis, what is our order book, sir?
So as of December 31st, closing order book is about 325 crores on a group level.
Okay. Got your point, sir. Okay. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you.
A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Hiten Boricha with Joint Ray Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for a very good set of numbers, sir. So I have a couple of questions. The first question is on the order book side. So you mentioned we are looking to grow a 15-20% kind of order book growth in next year also. So can you throw some more light on where is order book inquiries coming from, which particular sector on the side of export side?
We can't hear you. Can some problem in the line? Lot of cracking is happening. Can you repeat the question, please?
Yes, sure. Am I audible now, sir? Is it okay?
No, we are struggling to hear you. Your voice is cracking in between.
Hello. Is this okay, sir?
Hello. Can't hear you, boss.
Mr. Hiten, as there is disturbance static
Hello.
From your line, are you using a handset?
Yes, sir. I'm
we are unable to hear you due to the static and disturbance from your line.
I did not hear you.
We would request you to join the queue again and we can try again at that point of time. Our next question is from the line of Jasdeep Walia with Clockwine Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, earlier I had asked a question to you that out of top three copper and gold mining companies globally, how many are your clients? I was asking specifically for DynaPrime range of products, sir, and not for your entire portfolio. Hello?
Let me answer that in a manner that, you know, I'm not
most of the top gold and copper mines, even for Dynaprime, we are in different stages of development. But most of the top mines today are our customer, in the sense that we are either having business with them or we are trialing with them. So both the largest miners, the top miner in copper and gold, are our primary target for Dynaprime.
Got it, sir. Sir, like last time you gave me some numbers, in the sense you said that all top 20 miners are our clients. Can you give me that sort of a data for Dynaprime, where you're supplying commercial quantities, let's say amongst the top?
That's what I'm saying. See, Dynaprime, if you look at Dynaprime as a business, it is focused on the top miners, big miners who are the top this thing. So all our focus on the top 20 miners for copper and gold are there for Dynaprime, and that is where our business are coming for Dynaprime. So our whatever business you are looking at and our growth is coming from the top miners who are having the larger size of mills.
Got it, sir. And sir, out of total sales of Dynaprime, what percentage of sales are contributed where you're supplying quantities for testing?
See, again, 8-10% is like that. We are not quantities. Testing is a part of, you know, supplying a couple of pieces here and there to see how the thing is there. So 8-10% of our business would be testing, which the balance is from the revenues.
Got it, sir. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sushrut Gokhale with Capri's Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. Congrats for the good set of numbers. So I just want guidance on our new products like Dynaprime. So what is the pipeline? Means, are we working on some new products like this?
You're talking about new products or you're talking about Dynaprime?
No, means like Dynaprime is our flagship product. So are we working on some new products like this?
Yeah, we are working on a number of products on the R&D sections, but most of these products are in the process of, you know, patenting, in the process of patent. So detail of these products are not available in public domain now.
So just can you throw some light that 3 years down the line, what would be share from these new products?
See, one, we are, as of now, we are looking at the growth in the next 3 years from Dynaprime, etc. Once the new products are fully tested, commercialized, and put into operation, the way Dynaprime has grown, will the 10-15% growth will start coming from these kind of products also in the future.
And I just want this revenue number for mid for 9 months and last 9 months. Sorry, I didn't get that.
So revenue numbers for December 22 is 8059. Revenue from sales. Revenue from sales, okay. Again, 6529 previous period. Okay. Million. Numbers are in million.
Yes. Thanks. That's from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nikhil Jain with Galaxy International. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Two questions actually are a little more qualitative. So if I, let's say, assume that the market is 100, right? So to how many customers would we have penetrated, both with the Dynaprime and with our conventional products, right? So do we actually, so basically the point is that do we foresee scope for expansion in our conventional product with the customers, or is that kind of saturated? And the same question is for Dynaprime. Thank you.
See, as far as Dynaprime is, overall, when we are looking at the mill market and the Dynaprime product, we were close to 5%, 6% last year, right? So we have grown by 1%, but still the growth prospect is very large. So what we have been attacking with DynaPrime is close to a $1 billion market. And we have just started in the last 3 years. So the scope of growth is, as you can see from the revenue that we are clocking and the market potential which is there.
Right. Okay. Second question was with respect to the geographies, right? So we are there in India, we are there in Chile, Australia, but are there some key geographies that we actually want to expand into and that would be our focus, let's say, for FY24 and beyond?
So as of now, we are very evenly balanced in the geographies with our revenue, with Latin America and Africa being around 24-25% each. And then the rest of the basic. But Latin America, because of being the largest copper producer in the world, will always be our focus in the next 2-3 years because DynaPrime is focused on those large customers.
Right. Okay. The third question was with respect to, let's say, right now our focus is actually on gold and copper, right? But let's say some of these metals which are coming up or which would be required in higher quantities, let's say when we talk about lithium or nickel or some of these things, are our products suitable for those? And is that a large enough market for you to actually address and kind of look for?
See, again, on the mill liner market, 75% of the liner market is in gold and copper. Now, gold and copper are the bellwethers for all the others, where as far as the product usage is concerned, whether it's zinc, iron ore, other things. So the idea of focusing on this area and getting a market share in gold and copper is that once we have the product fully established over here, other material will always follow on that. Okay, so our basic focus is in gold and copper because of the larger concentration of market there.
But nickel and let's say lithium and all, so those are not, at this point of time, not a big enough market. Basically, that could be a small fraction, whatever, less than 5%.
Correct.
Or whatever.
Correct.
Right. Okay. Okay, and one last question. So we have let's say another company in similar area, let's say AIA Engineering, which is let's say 3 to 4 times your size. So is it like we are having different product range than them, or is it like we are competing with them in certain markets? I think they are also supplying some mill consumables. I think they are having a little different, but I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
AIA, 90% of their business is in grinding media. I think what they say is 10% is coming from the mill liner, and which includes cement mills, and they are now foraying into the mining. So in the mining sector, where they will be the sector which we are trying to disrupt, there will be competition against them, but where we are competing is established steel liners changing to DynaPrime, and they will be looking at established steel area to replace with their product, which will be steel. So that's the difference.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Bhavin Vitlani with SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. First, I've joined in late, pardon me, if you could help me 9-month numbers for DynaPrime conventional mill liners and non-mill products.
Yeah, Bhavin, I'll help you. So 9 months DynaPrime number is 1652 million INR versus 1358 million INR. Non-Dyna mill is 4245 million INR versus 3593 million, and non-mill is 1926 million versus 1436 million.
Okay, sorry, could you repeat the non-mill, please?
1926 million versus 1436 million.
Sure. The other question is, we had renewed our focus on the non-mill by restructuring our distribution strategy. Could you help us understand the benefits that we are seeing on that path, and how is the acceptance from the customer side?
So you already seeing the numbers of the mill non-mill increasing, right? So we are on year to date non-mill close to 34% increase compared to what it was. So what we had said right in the beginning, I think the last 2 years, we are saying the non-mill will follow on once the Dana Prime and other establishments are doing. So non-mill is doing also pretty good now.
Sure. The other part is, if you could help us with the utilization levels at the various key facilities, and what is the update on the expansion that we were undertaking at Chile?
So on Chile, which has said that land has been acquired by us, registered in our name. We have made application to the local authorities for clearances. We are awaiting the approval for the same, and we expect to get it by March. And if so, then the field work start from April onwards. So as of now, we are on the track, unless we have some delay on the approval side, which we not foresee as of now.
Sure. And what is the utilization at the current facilities, Chile, India, South Africa? So it will help us understand how much far you can go.
So in Chile, we are at about 72%. In South Africa, about 68%. Kalyani is about 63%. It's India is all together is about close to 55%. All three plant together.
Okay, great. The new expansion that we are undertaking, what is the timelines that we are expecting? And I believe there is a phase-wise expansion that we are undertaking.
So we are kind of, as of now, basis taking approval as of March, we're expecting the commercial production should come out in quarter one of FY25.
Okay.
Later quarter one.
Sure. And with this expansion, if you could just help us, the current capacity of at Chile, and what is the phase one expansion? So the quantum increase in the capacity at Chile.
So currently the capacity is 5,000 ton, right, which will go up to close to about 10,000 ton by quarter one, FY25.
Okay, I understand. The last question is, if I look at your fourth quarter of previous years, there was a very significant seasonality that we observed. Is that something one can expect the similar level of seasonality in the current year? Because if I look at last year, quarter four profit was equal to the 9 months profit last year.
So I can't talk about number, but the fact that quarter four always used to be better than first quarter three historically. So we expect the same trend and wait to see the number, how it converts.
Great. And just one last. We were looking at converting our customers from CIF to FOB because of the significant volatility in the freight that we have seen now that freight rates are coming down. If you could give us a perspective on that, and what's the kind of margin benefit that we could get once because the full impact of freight decline gets in.
Okay, I'll just repeat that as you join later. So on the freight side, if you can remember last year, full year, we lost about 1.5 to 1.6% as a part of our EBITDA, right? And what we see now, we have recovered close to about 1.2% as of now. And we expect that the remaining portion also get normalized by quarter four because it is still going down and not yet reached to the level what it was prior to COVID. So we are not pushing too hard for the FOB conversion, but we are softly kind of moving to that. Whatever customer, when customer is agree for FOB, we are just going to that aspect. So we are not forcing too much what we was doing little earlier. So freight is, it is something coming into a very much expectable level to us, where we've been able to get back our margin, what we've lost, other than 25 basis point, which we expect to get it in quarter four also.
Sure. Thank you so much for taking my questions.
Thank you, Bhavin.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today's conference. I would like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Nachiket Kale for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, everyone. I would like to thank the management for taking the time out for this conference call today. And also thanks to all the participants. If you have any queries, please feel free to contact us. We are Orient Capital, Investor Relations Advisor to Tega Industries. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Philip Capital Private Client Group, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.